The following is a home program on Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 6, text number 36, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on May 29th, 2009, in Kajang, Malaysia.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 6, text number 36. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Asaṃyatātmanā yogo duṣprāpā iti me mati vasyātmanā tu yatatā shakyo vaptum upāyata. Asaṃyatātmanā yogo duṣprāpā iti me mati vasyātmanā tu yatatā shakyo vaptum upāyata. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success. That is my opinion. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead declares that one who does not accept the proper treatment to detach the mind from material engagement can hardly achieve success in self-realization. Trying to practice yoga while engaging the mind in material enjoyment is like trying to ignite a fire while pouring water on it. Yoga practice without mental control is a waste of time. Such a show of yoga may be materially lucrative, but it is useless as far as spiritual realization is concerned. Therefore, one must control the mind by engaging it constantly in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Unless one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, he cannot steadily control the mind. A Krishna conscious person easily achieves the result of yoga practice without separate endeavor. But a yoga practitioner cannot achieve success without becoming Krishna conscious. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vita Tam Sajee.
Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, whoever is that? Are you the one who asked me? Who asked me the questions in the car? That was you, okay. Rajan. So, tonight in the car, on the way here, Rajan asked me how to become fixed in this chanting process. So this verse gives some hint to answer that question. If you try to ignite a fire, but at the same time pouring water on that fire, will you be successful in igniting your fire? If you pour water on a fire while you're trying to light it, will you be successful? No, you will not be successful. So this means that if I'm trying to perfect my chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, at the same time I'm engaging in material sense gratification, is there any hope I will be successful in my chanting? No. Even if it appears you're chanting very nicely, very clearly pronouncing the names, so many things. But if you engage in material sense gratification, you're counteracting all of your chanting. Therefore, we are giving great stress to purely practicing the sadhana bhakti system. I was also asked by this gentleman how to be Krishna conscious at the job. So, how many of you work just for the fun of it? Or how many of you work to get paid? Nobody works to get paid? Yes. Everyone works to get paid. Yes. Not, I do it for the love of the job. If they cut my pay, I would still go. You see? No. For the pay you are going. So, the fruit of your work is the pay, the money they give you. Yes. So, let me ask you this. If you spend that money that you earn on sense gratification, can that working be Krishna conscious? No. Cannot be. So the very simple formula of how to be Krishna conscious at your job is be very careful how you spend the money. Because the result of that work is the income. If that income is spent on sense gratification, whatever Krishna consciousness you may have had while you're working, you're just pouring water on it. You're extinguishing it. Therefore, don't spend your money on nonsense things. Not any of your money. Every penny or whatever your unit is here in Malaysia, every bit of that money must be spent in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. Why? Because it is Krishna's money. If you think it is your money, you're Ravana. He thought Sita was his property. Sita, she is Lakshmiji, goddess of fortune. Same thing, Radharani, Sita, Lakshmiji, they are goddess of fortune. So if you think the money is your money, then you are in the class of Ravana. You understand? But if you spend that money nicely in the service of Krishna, then you are in the class of Hanuman. He wanted to bring Sita back to Ram. So, what relationship do you want with Lord Ram? You want like Ravana or like Hanuman? You have the choice. You want to be in the Ravana Sampradaya or the Hanuman Sampradaya? So, if you think that money is yours, then I'll spend it any damn way I please, thank you. Then you're in Ravana Sampradaya. Do you understand that income, that is property of Krishna, it is the property of Lord Ram? So I must spend really nicely for Krishna, for Lord Ram, for Jagannath, in this way, you see. So in this way, if you apply your work in the service of God, then you will make very, very nice progress back to home, back to God. And how will you be able to do that? Because everywhere, the billboards, the TV, all the propaganda is saying, gratify your senses, whatever money you have, spend it on sense gratification. Everywhere, that's the propaganda. You see, how will you be free from the influence of that propaganda all over Kuala Lumpur? Everywhere. You know, they're advertising, come on, smoke cigarette, come on, drink liquor, come on, enjoy prostitute, come on, spend your money on sense gratification. Everywhere, you see. The propaganda is to spend your money on sense gratification. You see. Come on, lottery, come on. You see. You have lottery here? Yeah, everywhere lottery. So, how will you protect yourself? How will you spend that money properly in the service of God? That's why this japa is a very important thing. You must get a taste from the name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So how will you get a taste for the name? Many people ask, they say, Gurudev, I'm not getting any taste from the name. I want to get taste for the name. How do I get taste for the name? Just think about it for a minute. Who's the supreme enjoyer? What does enjoyer mean? The enjoyer of taste. Who is the supreme enjoyer? Is that you? Oh, that's Krishna. How do you enjoy? You enjoy when you give pleasure to Krishna. So apply this to your chapa, to your chanting. You will only genuinely relish your chanting to the degree that Krishna relishes it. You understand? So the key is, if you want to get taste from your japa, chant for Krishna's pleasure, not your pleasure. You understand? If you chant for your own pleasure, then you're a materialist. You're trying to use the holy name for your own sense gratification. But if you chant for Krishna's pleasure, you see, then you're a true spiritualist. And Krishna will enjoy unlimitedly, and you will enjoy unlimitedly also. So never try to be the primary enjoyer. If you do, you're cutting your own throat. You understand? Would you cut your own throat? No. You see? If you try to be the primary enjoyer, you are cutting your own throat. Simply try to always give pleasure to Krishna. You see? It's like tonight you're giving your house for the pleasure of Krishna. You see? This is the proper mood. But Krishna has given me a nice house. Let me enjoy it. No. Let me engage this house every day so that Krishna enjoys it. You see, that's the key. And then you will enjoy unlimitedly your house. Because you realize it is not my house, it is Krishna's house. So this is the simple formula. We do not give up enjoyment. We simply know the art of how to enjoy unlimitedly. You see. I mean, when you eat, do you feed your hand? Yes or no? Huh? What do you mean? Of course you feed your hand. When you eat, you feed every part of your body. Isn't it? Every part of your body gets nourished. You're wrong. You do feed your hand. But how do you feed your hand? You feed your hand by feeding the belly. And then the hand gets its nourishment. The hand doesn't tie to enjoy separately. You see. So we are like the hand and Krishna is like the belly. So you get your satisfaction, you get your enjoyment by giving all service to Krishna. You see, that's the key. So as I was telling Rajan, you have to train yourself to be very introspective. This verse is talking about it, you see. For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success. So you have to keep your mind under control. So what is that control of the mind? You have to observe your mind that every thought that is going through your mind is pleasing to Guru and Krishna. That's the way we control our mind. We are not impersonalists. Or Ashtanga yogis who simply hold the mind, just you keep it controlled. One time I took some yoga training course and they told me the way you control your mind is you stare at a candle. Such mind control is useless. You cannot become free from material desire by staring at a candle. Not possible. Why? Because it doesn't give you a higher taste. Right now we are trapped by material desires. So will a candle satisfy all your, give you a pleasure greater than all your material desires? Of course not. But Krishna, you see. In other words, that candle is not the reservoir of all pleasure. But Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. So if you will give your loving service to Krishna, who is the reservoir of all pleasure, he will give you unlimited pleasure. You understand? So the hand simply has to feed the belly. And then the hand gets nourished, the whole body gets nourished. So when you give your loving service to Krishna, you give the best service to your wife, the best service to your husband, the best service to your kids, the best service to your parents, your friends, your neighbors, your boss, your prime minister, the citizens, the plants, the trees, the insects, and even the little microbial germ floating in the air. You give the ultimate best service to all living entities. So you can just imagine how happy is the pure devotee. He is able to give pure love to every single living entity in all of existence. That is the pure devotee. So you can just imagine how much happiness and joy the pure devotee feels at every minute. As he is purely giving love to all living entities throughout all of existence. You see? So practice this art of controlling your mind by always thinking in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. So how do you do that? You study Prabhupada's books. Become Shastra Chakshu. See everything through the eyes of the scripture. Everything at every second should be seen through the eyes of the scripture. That's how your mind is controlled. Never allow your mind to see it in a different way. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaite kyatita kyata prakashante mahatmanah. This verse in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad is saying that for those who have unflinching faith in the words of the spiritual master and the words of Krishna given in the scriptures, all the imports of Vedic knowledge become revealed. Can you imagine if you had the full realization of the Vedas in your consciousness, how enlightened you would be, how happy would you be. The full realization of the Vedas was always sitting in your consciousness. Just imagine. So how do you achieve that? You achieve that by unflinching faith in the words of Guru and the words of Krishna as spoken in Bhagavad Gita. So learn how to train your mind to always see through the eyes of the scripture, everything. And then by that diligent practice, gradually, just like a sun rises in the morning, all the Vedic knowledge will become revealed to you. Gyanena tutara gyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham madhichyam vajganam prakashayati tatpadam. You know the verse? Very nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita. When one is enlightened with that knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun reveals everything in the daytime. So if you will practice diligently this process of controlling your mind by always seeing through the eyes of the scripture, that day will come and the whole world will become enlightened for you. You will see everything. Everything will be crystal clear to you, wherever you go. Whether you're at home, whether you're at work, whether you're at this temple, whether you're in the stupid jams on the freeway, wherever you may be, you'll be enlightened with spiritual knowledge. You'll see everything clearly, as the great sages see it. And you'll never be bewildered ever again. And even at the most heavy experience of the time of death, you'll be in transcendental bliss. Wow, this is great. I've been waiting for this. I've saved my whole life. I've invested my energy my whole life. Now I'm sitting on the airplane and the plane's getting ready to take off for Goloka Vrindavan. I've got a nice seat on this airplane. To Goloka Vrindavan. So I can ask if there's any questions. Yeah, well, if you had to become pure to chant Hare Krishna, nobody could chant, except for the pure devotees. That means those who are not pure devotees would have no opportunity to become pure devotees. If we let's say we had a hospital, and we said the only people allowed to come to this hospital are healthy people, then how do we ever cure the sick? The holy name... What is that? It is medicine. Is medicine given to sick people or to healthy people? Actually, this is medicine for the sick, and it is gulab jamun for the healthy. The holy name is very versatile. For those who appear, it's like gulab jamun. And for those who are sick, it is like medicine, which gradually becomes gulab jamun. So, you do not have to be pure to chant Hare Krishna, obviously. Actually, the argument we hear is this. They say, well, you know, I make so many offenses when I chant, it's better I stop chanting. That's the argument we hear. You know, I'm not going to chant because I'm so offensive. I commit so many nama-aparadhas, it's better I just don't chant. I'm so offensive. But one should understand this. It's more offensive not to chant at all than it is to chant offensively. The point is, when you begin chanting, you have to be chanting offensively. There's nothing else you can do except be an offensive chanter in the beginning. Because we're full of offenses. That's why we've been sent here to the material existence. This is a penal colony for offenders. So we're all offenders here. So the only way we can get out of this offensive mentality is to chant in spite of our offenses, having faith in the name. And then if you're very sincere, then quickly you will come from the offensive stage to the clearing stage where those offenses are being cleared off. That's why we ask our devotees, give up illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Because by this process, you become, by giving up these gross sins and taking and humbling yourself before Guru and Vaishnavas, then you immediately, very quickly at least, you come to the clearing stage. Those offenses are being cleared off. So it's okay to be offensive in the beginning, but now you've understood, now give up the offenses and begin to clear those off by taking the process given by Srila Prabhupada. Does that answer your question?
Does chanting help release you from sense gratification?
Does chanting help to free you from sense gratification? Chanting, if done sincerely with the desire to be pure chanting, if one is sincerely trying to become a pure chanter, by that sincere desire to purely chant Hare Krishna mantra, one will get a higher taste, which will supersede or replace all the tastes which one had by sense gratification. So a sincere chanter will naturally lose taste for illicit sex. It's like even in marriage, you see. He becomes happy. The husband and wife are sincerely chanting Hare Krishna. They will use sex only for procreation. Otherwise, they will practice celibacy because they're getting so much pleasure from the name. They don't want to come down to a disgusting bodily platform. You see, illicit sex, sex recreational, so-called recreational sex. You see, they will find that this Hare Krishna is a million times more relishable than any type of sex they ever could even think of having. You see. So in this way, if you dive deeply into this Shuddha, this Namamrita Sindhu, the nectarian ocean of the name, and you can easily give up all this, you know, dog, hog, camel, and ass kind of enjoyment, you know, which is all this allegory, yeah. Sense gratification is simply the recreational activities of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Human beings are not meant for sense gratification. Human beings are meant to be tyagi, to give up sense gratification and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, relishing pleasure, which is millions and billions of times sweeter than any illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, or gambling. So ours is not artificial renunciation. No. Ours is giving up the lower taste, having gotten the higher taste. If I offered you a plate of stew, would you like it? If you were a hog, you would wag your little tail and come running for dinner, you see? So, human life is not meant for the stool of sense gratification. Human life is meant for Krishna consciousness. Just imagine a nice bowl of strawberry ice cream. You see. And when I offer you the ice cream here and the stool here, you'll take the ice cream every time, won't you? Isn't it? You see. So, in this way, this illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling, it is simply stool. You see. And this Hare Krishna chanting, this bhakti yoga system, is like strawberry ice cream. Organic strawberry ice cream. Offered to Radha and Krishna. So, any other questions? Everyone's satisfied? Everyone's completely finished with all of this pig life? You see, ready for pure bhakti now, no more messing around with sense gratification. Yes?
Yes, I did hear a few devotees mention that chanting leads to chanting, the process of chanting is requesting for service.
Chanting is begging for service, yes.
So the moment when we beg for service, initially we need the unflinching faith to do the chanting. Is it so?
Well, if you're sincerely begging for service, then you're putting your faith in this process. You're putting your faith in the name, there's no doubt. Saying, my dear Krishna, if you're chanting properly, you're actually in the mood of, my dear Krishna, whatever you want me to do, I'm prepared to do anything. I'm simply your humble servant. You can do whatever you want to with me. You can kill me. You can let me live for 500 years. I don't care what you do with me, Lord. Whether I'm here, whether I'm there, you know, I can be anywhere in the world, I can do in any position. Put, you know, you can make me, I can be giving a lecture, I can be clean the toilet, whatever you want to do with me. I'm just completely surrendered unto you. Please engage me as you see fit, Lord. That's the mood of chanting Hare Krishna, you see. Not that, well, you know, I want to be a big spiritual leader, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's a material desire. Lord Chaitanya said, "Na janam," I have no desire to be a big spiritual leader. You see? I just want bhakti. Even if I'm not even praying for liberation from birth and death. Just give me bhakti. Give me bhakti in any situation. Here in Kuala Lumpur or wherever, it doesn't matter. Even if I take birth in this material world, millions of lifetimes, it's okay. Just let me always be engaged in your service. What did Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? It's better to be a Vaishnava, an insect in the house of a Vaishnava, than to be a non-devotee Brahmaji. You see? This is the mood. So, other questions? You had another one, yeah? But
he says he doesn't have time to do both chanting and reading.
Yeah,
and he gets more pleasure from reading than from chanting. So
from what?
Reading. And from chanting.
Okay. Yeah. So, but reading Prabhupada's books or reading the newspaper? Oh, okay. All right. If you read Prabhupada's books, and what does Prabhupada say in his book? Again and again, he says, chant at least 16 rounds every day. So what is the quality of his reading if he's not obeying what he's reading? He's not following what he's reading. You see? That means he's a rascal. And that means, actually Prabhupada personally instructed me on this point. He said, if simply you study without applying the knowledge, that then after some time you will lose a taste for the study. So I guarantee you, somebody who refuses to chant 16 rounds and says, I'm just going to read instead, after some time they won't be reading Prabhupada's books anymore. They will lose their taste for reading. Unless you put into practice what you are reading, you will lose a taste in reading these books. I guarantee you. The only way to get increasing taste from reading Prabhupada's books is to apply them very sincerely. That's a thing. You mark my words, that person will, in a few years, he won't be reading Prabhupada's books anymore. He might be reading Time magazine, but he won't be reading Prabhupada anymore.
On the other hand, there are some people who only chant but don't want to read.
So, now the other side of the spectrum. I will chant, but I won't read. One thing is, they may be illiterate. Are they illiterate?
Not really.
Oh, okay. All right. So they are chanting Hare Krishna, they are begging Krishna, please engage me in your service. They are praying to Krishna. So, that means they want to surrender to Krishna. That means they want to surrender to Srila Prabhupada, who is Krishna's pure devotee, because Krishna says, you have to surrender to my representative. That means they want to surrender to the present guru also, who will initiate them, because that is Krishna's order. So, if they're really chanting in the proper mood, and they're saying, please engage me in service, the spiritual master says, all right, I want you to read. He says, no, I don't want to read, but that means you're not really praying for service. That means your chanting is your own sense gratification also. You're chanting in a sense gratification. When you don't want to do what you're being instructed to do by higher authorities. You're just chanting. It's another type of sense enjoyment. like Bhakti Siddhanta said, my mind, what sort of rascal are you? You just want to chant Hare Krishna and be worshipped as a great sage by the innocent people, by the foolish people who don't really understand the science of bhakti. We had this during Prabhupada's time. There was one man, he wanted to be a Babaji, one devotee, and just wanted to chant all day, you see, imitating Haridas Thakur. Actually, he had been told that he had a terminal disease. He only had so long to live. So he asked Prabhupada for this special benediction, and Prabhupada did it. He initiated him, he gave him Babaji initiation. I don't know if Prabhupada ever did that for anybody else, but he gave him Babaji initiation. And then he heard that the doctor told him, actually, you're not going to die, and he gave up Krishna consciousness. So it was, you know, Prabhupada facilitated him to just do nothing but chanting, but he wasn't cut out for it. He couldn't maintain it, you see. So someone who just wants to chant 24 hours, you see, and not do any service and not do any reading. Prabhupada was not very pleased with such mentality. We are meant to surrender to the spiritual master. That is what we are praying for. But my dear Guru Maharaj, engage me however you are Prabhupada's representative, so you kindly engage me however Prabhupada would want me to be engaged. We were with Prabhupada when he was on the planet. We know how he wanted us to be engaged because he was engaging us. We were seeing how he's engaging me, how is he engaging all the other devotees. We had living experience of them, you see. So now Prabhupada is gone. We have his books. But for practical engagement now, Prabhupada told us to be spiritual masters. So we can engage you the same way he engaged us, do you understand? So he did not want people who just did nothing, just chanting all day. Now on the end of life, that's another thing. When your body is sick and there's nothing else to do, then 24-hour chanting is a very good thing. But when you have a healthy body, you're meant to do service. You're meant to read, you're meant to clean the temple, you're meant to go out and preach. These things all are there, a total program of engagement that Prabhupada gave us. So do not think that you will simply chant and you don't have to do anything else. Actually, Prabhupada told us, you should always be engaged in studying these books. He told us. Why has he written these books? Simply for distribution or sitting on the shelf? No. Prabhupada wrote these books for us to read them. In fact, Prabhupada said this. He said, my disciples have to read all of my books or they will fall down. You may say, well, great, I'm not a disciple, I'm just a grand disciple. Is that what Prabhupada meant? No. You can take it from me that Prabhupada meant that his grand disciples are also meant to follow. In other words, everybody who is in this ISKCON, they're all Prabhupada's disciples. Different, they're disciples, grand disciples, great grand disciples, in this way. We are all disciples of Prabhupada. Different types of disciples. So when Prabhupada said, all of my disciples must read all of my books or they'll fall down, it refers to every ISKCON member. Not just Prabhupada's, you know, disciple. But the disciples of his disciples, they are a different type of disciple. That's it. We're all disciples of Prabhupada. That's why we're called Prabhupada Anugas. But there are direct disciples and there are indirect disciples. But we're all disciples. The disciples of the disciples are also disciples of Prabhupada. That's why we all worship him in Guru Puja. We all worship him. So that means the disciples, the grand disciples, the great grand disciples, everyone, Prabhupada has ordered everyone to read all of his books. So if you say I was simply chant, but I don't read, then you are disobeying the order of the spiritual master, which is the third offense. So such a person chanting will never be perfect. He'll always remain an offensive chanter. That's the thing. So it's getting a little late for me. Well, I have to get up. My wife and I have to get up early tomorrow, and it's 10 o'clock now. I think we better stop here, so I can do my service to Prabhupada in the morning. I'm attending Mangal Arti. So I thank you all very much for. So, this is your home. I thank you very much for opening your home and your heart to us this evening. Where is your wife? Thank you very much. What are your names?
Raja Mohandas.
Raja Mohandas. Raja Mohan. Oh, very nice. Very nice. Raja Mohan. And your wife's name?
Krishna Tulasi Devi Das.
Krishna?
Tulasi.
Rosi?
Tulasi. Krishna Tulasi Devi Das.
Krishna Tulasi?
Yeah, Tulasi.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. So we thank you very much, Raja Mohan and Krishna Tulasi Mataji, for making your home available tonight for this nice program. And may Krishna bless all of you that you can become completely absorbed in pure bhakti. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.